Are you ready to kickstart your week with some dirt slinging and tire slaying action motorsports radio that packs the biggest guests?
Hi, Ken Block here.
Hey, my name's Jolene Van Butte.
What's up, Brian Deegan?
Vaughn Ginn Jr. here.
They've been thrown into one show that has broken down the barriers of what a motorsports radio show should be. This is the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Racer, with support from General Tire, KMC Wheels, Rigid Industries, Dirtfish, Gibson Exhaust, and MTX Audio, with your host, who also happens to spend his weekends flying 800 horsepower trucks through the dirt, Jim Beaver.
When was the last time you saw an off-road or rally driver begging to get behind the wheel of a NASCAR IndyCar? Yep, not happening, but you sure see these pavement racers begging to drive our cars.
And his partner in crime every week, a self-proclaimed Canadian moto chick who is jumping triples and taking podiums before most guys even learn to ride, Amy Hood.
No one knows how to say my last name. Like, is it really that hard? Amy Hood, like I'm from the hood. Don't get it twisted.
Sit back, strap in, and be prepared to join us as we take you through a motorsports ride like no other. Here is the man who carries a steering wheel in one hand and a mic in the other, Jim Beaver.
Welcome to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor, live from the General Tire Off-Road Appreciation Party here at the Blue Water Resort and Casino. Sitting down in front of me, man, most of you listeners know quite well, good friend of mine, Jared Tetzloff from Fast Aid. How's everything going, Jared?
It could not be better. The weather's cooling off. The sun is setting over the Colorado River here, and General Tire has put on an incredible party for this Best in the Desert Blue Water Challenge.
Yep, lots of food, lots of free drinks. I know the sun's still kind of going down. Things will, I'm sure, ramp up here in a little bit. But tell us a little bit about Fast Aid. I know it's been a while since we've had you on air. I mean, I know it's, you know, things always changing, you know, quickly. How's everything going with Fast Aid?
Everything is going really well. You know, sometimes you have those years where you're not having a lot of fireworks and you know, you're not the shiniest, brightest thing. But we are continuing to help people. We've had a couple cases that we have assisted with in the last year, and we've been out to as many races as we can. Obviously, being an all-volunteer board, sometimes it gets tricky to accommodate the very busy schedule. You know, we talked earlier about your travel schedule. Being an all-volunteer board with full-time, daytime jobs, we're out as many races as we can, but the bottom line is, we are still chugging along in the background. Actually, I'm very excited because in the next month, we're going to close kind of a big chapter in the Fast Aid book, in my mind, which is to set up some trust funds for kids who were orphaned by the California 200 accident. And that's going to close out probably the most monumental and big event that Fast Aid has been well known for. Obviously, we help a lot of racers, a lot of media, crew members, things like that. But to the general public, the California 200 was the biggest accident that brought off-road to the limelight. And so I'm very excited that in the next month, like I say, we're going to have those orphans, we're going to have set up college funds so that even though their parents were lost in that terrible accident, they've got something to start out their young adult life with in the next few years.
Yeah, you know, that was something, you know, I guess very high profile, kind of went mainstream at the time, and you know everybody wants the off-road mainstream, but that is not the way we want it to happen. But you know, it's gotta feel good for you guys to kind of close out that chapter and kind of be able to, you know, I don't want to say put that behind you because you're obviously putting, you know, the families in a better place, but you know, kind of move on and go to the next project.
Yeah, absolutely. I had a lot of people ask me, oh, did Fast Aid start because of that? And we had been around. You know, your brother was a founding member over a year before that accident. We had been around, we had helped people, and we've continued to help people. And so while it was an absolute pleasure to represent the off-road community when it went mainstream as the family and the tight-knit community that it is, like I said, it's not putting it behind us, but it shouldn't define us either. And I think that's true for the sport. Accidents happen in off-road racing. You can't let it define your sport. You got to move on and learn from them and continue to grow the sport outside of just that pigeonholed identity that, like you say, it went mainstream. But I think the bigger thing that I'm proud of is that it showed the off-road community is more than just a bunch of high finance hobbyists. I mean, it really showed what a community it is, and things like, you know, the Lucas Oil schedule with Best in the Desert and other races getting mainstream coverage. I think it has grown the sport. So we honor those who are lost, but at the same time, we look towards the future.
Yeah. Well, and you know, you talked about sometimes, you know, people, you know, you guys aren't in the limelight. I guess, you know, in your business, that's sometimes a good thing when you guys aren't in the limelight and, you know, and you don't get too many calls and, you know, and need for help.
Yeah, absolutely. It's kind of a catch-22 where people say, you know, people ask, typical business owners, there's no such thing as good, you know, or bad press. And in our case, no, there's such thing as no press is great, because we haven't had to respond or help anybody out that's one of our friends or one of our, you know, competitors, one of our racers. Yeah, that's the trick. In the background, you've still got to continue filing the corporation commission forms and the IRS forms and everything else to keep things in place and keep money in the bank, so that when something happens, because we know it's not if, it's when, we just don't want to think about it as racers. If, you know, when something happens, we're prepared to act and be of assistance, which comes down to the core of our mission statement.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, you know, what do you have on tap for next year? I mean, you know, I know obviously in the past you guys have done, you know, quite a few different fundraisers. Anything, you know, as we look at 2016, you guys have in the plans?
We've got a lot of things in the plans. Nothing finalized as of yet. We have kicked around the idea of some fun runs. You know, we go out to the desert. We race. It's highly competitive. It costs a lot of money. It takes a lot of time. It takes a lot of energy. And ultimately, I think what brought us out to the desert is the enjoyment of the beauty of the desert and being able to enjoy that with friends and family. And so we have kicked around the idea of some fun runs, whether here, you know, over in the Mojave Desert or even south of the border. And so we're working on some of those things. We're also working on some of the possibility of bringing back a golf tournament. It's been a couple years since we did our first golf tournament. It takes a lot of time, takes a lot of effort, takes a lot of money up front. But it was so well received a couple years ago that we are exploring that. So we've got some things planned out for 2016 for sure. The biggest thing for me is that I am going to expend my vacation time from my day job so that I can get back out to as many races as possible, and just be out and amongst the people and have a good time.
Awesome. Well, you know, I appreciate you taking the time to kind of keep us in the loop on all things Fast Aid, and, you know, and we'll definitely talk with you soon.
Yeah, absolutely, Jim. I appreciate you having me on the show. I appreciate, like I say, General Tire and Best in the Desert putting on this great party down by the river. And longtime friend and longtime, you know, family friends, and excited for what you've got going on with the Down and Dirty radio show. And look forward to the next time we get to come on.
Yeah, for sure. All right, got our next guest sitting down in the queue here, TJ Flores. How's everything going, buddy?
Pretty good, man. The weather's nice here in Blue Water tonight. You know, getting ready for the Parker Blue Water race. It's pretty nice. Again, can't get much better of a race than this with, what is it, probably 80 degrees right now. And you know, no wind. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah, I think it's one of the only races where, you know, that you actually see when we're coming down that road section, there's people in boats actually watching. It reminds you, like, you know, I don't know, like the Formula One race in Monaco or something, right?
Yeah, exactly. Got all the yuppies out there in the water watching the Formula One going down, you know, at 100 or whatever, a couple hundred miles an hour. We're here at 130 probably, maybe 125 in the trophy trucks.
In our mind, we're going a lot faster, though, right?
Yeah, exactly. And you're going, man, you see that bikini? You seen that bikini? Wow, that was pretty cool. You know, as we're going that fast, you kind of get distracted a little bit.
Yeah. Well, there's always cracks me up. You'll be in the middle of nowhere, Nevada, and every year at Vegas Torino, middle of nowhere, and there's always somebody out there, some girl flashing and everything.
Oh,
and I'm like,
yeah.
Where did that come from?
Exactly.
Like, in the middle of nowhere, you know?
Yeah. Same thing. Like, you know, I've been fortunate enough to have people that, you know, sit in the passenger seat, and that's how I've got to where I'm at, that paid for me to ride. And I'll be picking out friends in the middle of nowhere, and they're like, how do you do that? I'm like, I've been doing this a long time, you know. Yeah. I've been very fortunate. Yeah. Sometimes you can get distracted, and it's pretty, you know, you kind of just start picking off things, and it's kind of cool, you know?
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's funny. You walk up, and, you know, none of us are celebrities by any means. I guess BJ would be about the closest thing we've got to a celebrity. But, yeah, I was like in Tonopah on the way back from Vegas to Reno, man. I got some kid ran up and knew exactly who I was and, you know, was telling me about this race and that race. And this some kid from Tonopah remembered, like, me racing in a Class 8 10 years ago. Oh. I'm like, whoa, you know more about my career than I do, dude.
Yeah, 100%. I agree with you. You know, it's we're pretty blessed to have the followers we do have, you know, and, you know, it helps grow our sport, you know, and just seeing the young guys that, you know, that maybe sometimes the parents call, you know, because I'm a mechanic and made it to where I'm at, and being able to race trick trucks is, you know, just been very blessed to have good people around me. So sometimes you get people go, man, you're the blue collar guy that's made it to that, and, you know, we aspire for that. Keep doing it, please, you know. It gives us hope that we can be able to do it. And or you get parents that go, hey, my son's struggling at school. Can you talk to him? And, you know, you get on the phone and you go, hey, I've been doing this for 15 years. To get where I'm at, I could have been a doctor in eight or nine years and been successful at something. But I'm successful now. I'm not taking it away. But go to school, get your things in order, then come racing. Yeah. You know, it's a hard work when you start out pushing a broom to get where you're at, then, you know, studying and, you know, and be able to come out and have a long-term goal, you know, thing out of it.
Yeah, always have a fallback. You know,
fallback.
Normally they say if you want to make $1 million in racing, you start with two.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah, yes.
It's pretty tough to start with none and make $1 million, right?
That's right. Oh, man, I see a lot of people going broke in racing.
Yeah, you and I both, man. It's, well, you know, and you see it in desert racing. I mean, there'll be guys come in with a big checkbook, and for 3 or 4 years they're on top of the world, and then they just
disappear,
go away, you know, and it's... You know, guys like you or, you know, or it's a lot of people that have been around the sport, you know, a long time. And it's, you know, it's kind of cool to be able to show up and, you know, see guys like you and catch up with you. And, you know, and I mean, there's McMillans. I mean, you can name it. A lot of the Las Vegas guys, Pat, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, so you can count on them at every race, you know.
That's right. And, you know, it's cool because, you know, they're just, you're all one family.
Yeah.
That's the cool thing about off-road racing. No matter who you are, I mean, as some of the new guys might not act that way, but all the old guys, no matter what part you have, you give it to somebody else. I mean, that's just the way it is, because out in that desert, you got to count on your brother out there to might help you or flip you back over when you made a mistake, you know. And so,
well, it's funny, you know, you're talking about that, and literally at Vegas Torino, it's, you know, you talk about, you know, people that've been around here together, we're about the same age and grew up together, and, you know, in off-road circles. And I think I was talking with Day Gang. Well, I still call her Day Gang.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
But, I do too, because I've noticed
Day Daniel,
she was 14.
Right?
Yeah.
No, we were talking about some story from a snore race in Laughlin 15 years ago. Yeah. You know what I mean? And her husband's looking at us like, what the heck are you guys talking about?
Yeah.
You know, it was some story that happened at a bar, and it was just funny, you know?
Yeah, like I've known Day since I think she was probably 14. You know, I've known her family and just being in the off-road world. And, you know, and so I've known, be able to grow up with her, and then, you know, become good friends with Josh, too, and I've been fortunate enough to ride with him, too, and vice versa. And, you know, it's just amazing, our off-road community, how tight we are.
Yeah, for sure. Let's talk about your program, though. I mean, you know, I know you're racing with Todd and the Tonka trucks now. How's that going?
It's going good. You know, we started out last year around this time. He gave me a phone call and said, hey, everyone tells me you're the guy I should be calling to go race with, and you know, it was right at the time when the McMurrow program was falling apart, and we just had financial issues. So it worked out, and we put a program together, and I just said, hey, I got to keep my sponsors, the ones that have been with me faithful. I mean, that's, you know, if we can't do that, I can't be a part of it. It's just, and Todd said, no, I mean, whoever you need to be on the truck, that's what we need to have, because I want you to be a part of it. It's it all balls in your court. So went to Baja 1000, got to race with Stevie Genio, and then come back, and then, you know, said, yeah, let's do it. And so the beginning of the year has been rough. We've been racing his truck and just trying to get the bugs worked out of it, and finally got some speed out of it. Vegas Reno, we had a little rear gear issue, but we spent the last month and a half testing and got it where it's up to speed. And Todd, I think, qualified 11th today, and he hadn't been in the truck all year. So that was a good thing. And, you know, we're just sitting around trying to plan our futures. He's got stuff for Dakar for us, you know, maybe in the near future. This Articat deal with Robbie Gordon, racing some UTVs together, and just kind of putting a long-term goal, you know, deal together. And he's just such a nice person, and he likes how, you know, how hands-on we are and want to make the program better. And, you know, we do it on a budget. And so I'm really thankful just to be, you know, surrounded with someone that's really – wants to go be competitive.
Yeah, you know, and he's a guy, you know, you love guys like that who get involved in the sport. And obviously, he's, you know, not new to the sport. He's been around for a while now. But, you know, not only does he have this great brand, you know, and he's got trucks, but, you know, I know he's a Mint 400 sponsor, and he's giving back into the community too, you know, and those are the type of guys we need coming in.
Without a doubt. And the people that are excited about it, the people that are hands-on, help developing stuff. I mean, him and Robbie are doing this new Articat deal that's developing a new Articat to, you know, to help step up the game of UTVs. You know, and just, you know, and the trophy truck. Hey, we have a lot of things going. Now he's building a new Ultra 4 car to go race King of the Hammer this next year. I mean, got a lot of things in the works. And, I mean, Dakar, that's been a lifelong dream. So he's like, 2016, we're for sure, you know, or 17, we're for sure racing it. And, but he's trying to work on a deal. We might be racing in 2016, so that'd be incredible, you know, just to have someone that you barely know a year just say, hey, we're going to go race, you know, and pay and pretty much pay for you to go race, and it's pretty incredible.
Yeah, it looks like he's walking up right now. We can grab a mic if he wants. Yeah, we'll get you mic'd up, buddy. Yeah, we got Todd Romano. Grab him a chair, and we'll get him mic'd up.
He just did a paddleboard ride from Roadrunner back to here.
See, that's legit, man.
Yeah.
How we doing, Todd?
I'm doing awesome, man.
So you really paddleboard ride from Roadrunner to here. What's that, like 7-8 miles?
Yeah, we cheated about halfway down. We said, this is way too far. And we pulled over a pontoon boat, boots of rope, and we surfed behind the stand-up the whole way in.
Did a little surfing, huh?
It was awesome.
I don't know. It's still pretty legit haul all the way from there to here. But, yeah, TJ was, you know, just bringing me in the loop on kind of your program, and sounds like you had a pretty solid qualifying run today.
Yeah, I haven't seen the results.
Yeah, we're 11th.
11th.
11th today. So Cameron Steele's 10th, and you're 11th, so.
So, hey, good job on the gear.
Yeah.
TJ made some calls on the gear where we started this year really kind of figuring out that you need a qualifying gear. So made some changes and switched over some tires to Toyo to get a little more traction. And it was different. It was I blew a couple corners.
Yeah. Well, I know that was me. We put this hot rod gear in. First time I've ever actually ran a different ratio for qualifying.
Right, exactly.
We went out and tested 2 days ago just with this new gearing, because I've never driven the truck with it. And I'm like, oh, man, this thing is awesome. Well, it's so awesome that I'm blowing corners now.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I'm so used to the gearing in the truck and how we run it, you know, and we might have changed up or down one ratio for certain races, but this is like way out of the
exactly.
box. And it's really learning how to drive again, you know?
Yeah.
It's just a lot faster. You're not waiting. Like, you just sit there. You know, we don't have a big motor. We kind of have a reliable motor. So gearing definitely helped today. It was good.
Yeah, it was good, you know, and getting them seat time, that's a good thing. This is the first time he's qualified this year, and you know, really the first time he's going to get in the truck. I mean, we've had just some struggles with it, and just trying to get it better and better for next year, and trying to, you know, put a good effort at it for next year. I mean, that's the game plan, and he's so busy. He's got all 10 different things going on with his own businesses going and his Articat deal, so it's pretty cool.
You're up in Park City, right? It was in December. I was up visiting Block, and you know, and he's like, "Oh, that's Todd's right down there," you know.
Yeah. So, his race shop's like literally two doors down from mine.
Yeah, they were saying you had bought like the shops right there. I don't know if you were moved in there yet or something, but it was like I'm going back up in December. We'll have to
ski.
Yeah, come up a couple. Yeah, we do a show there from Block, so we'll have to get you to pop down two doors and.
You know, it's cool. We have snow bikes up there now.
Oh, do you?
That you get out and get Ken out with us, and it's a lot of fun. I mean, just riding motorbikes in the snow is pretty crazy.
I went up to Ultimate Snowmobiler and hosted that event up there in Crested Butte, and in snow bikes they were all over the place. And I've ridden a lot of snowmobiles, but bikes I've never tried. It looks awesome.
Yeah, it's to me. I mean, I have everything up there to ride in the backcountry. I'll ride the snow bike every day now.
Really?
That's pretty cool.
It's like learning to ride all over again, or is it?
No, like what's really cool is I'm a really good big mountain snowmobile rider, and not too many of my friends who don't know how to ride can come hang out, but I can put them on a snow bike, and they go. My daughters have never ridden a motorcycle before, and I put in third gear, dump the clutch, and they ride all day with me.
Yeah.
They don't know how to shift, but they can ride.
That's my daughter. We got her on a CRF50, right? And she goes, and you know, I can keep it in first or second. I'll usually start it in the gear I want her in. Well, one day she got the thing into third gear, and she didn't know how she did it. She's like off like a rocket. I'm like, oh, whoa, 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 whoa. So talking about plans. I know TJ was kind of bringing us in the loop, talking a little King of the Hammers, and I know you got some stuff going with Robbie now. I mean, how's 2017 or 2016 shaping up?
You know, it's going to be interesting. We're trying to get the second car to Dakar. We're trying to bring two cars, me and Robbie, to go to Dakar and try to help him win a championship, win Dakar this year for the first time. Both cars are almost done. We just bought an IFS Slauson's bomber car that Robbie's going to finish. We'll have her KOH, and then he is got a straight axle Slauson's car that he's going to have. And then the Articat deal and Stadium Super Trucks and all the best in the desert. And probably next year, the 250 and the 500. I mean, it's a big schedule next year, probably 20 race weekends.
Wow, that's definitely a big undertaking, you know. Going to keep TJ pretty busy in the shop, huh?
Well, we talked about it today. Yeah. We need another body.
Yeah,
just a dedicated body for that program itself, you know. And that's kind of where we're trying to reposition the shop, building these, start building some cabins out of shipping containers. So I'm trying to get that all developed in a program so that I'm not having to be so hands-on in that, but then I can just go on and kind of just be straight, me and one other guy, maybe straight heads, hands-on to him, and maybe just a little prep work on the side. But really just, I want to get down to be able to afford just to set our sights at one program and be competitive. And I've never been able to do that in my racing career, just be able to work on one program and see how good we can really be. I mean, we've always had to put our program last, and, you know, if we could put it first, I think we could be up front a lot more.
Yeah, that's got to be pretty exciting, just the concept of that for you, being able to really dedicate yourself to one and go, right?
Yeah, I mean, it just takes a sacrifice and, you know, just trying to focus at it, going, you know, this is the goal, and, you know, and just trying to direct half my shop into another direction that isn't in racing, but hopefully long-term into some other stuff that, you know, can help develop our racing program into a better program.
Yeah. Well, and I know, you know, TJ and I were talking about, I mean, how, you know, obviously, you know, your guy behind Tonka brand, you know, known as Tonka Todd, right? You know, how's that all tie in with everything you're doing? I mean,
you know, starting a long time ago, we kind of found a way to not just be racers, but bring B2B opportunity to businesses. And it was funny, there was a huge presentation maybe 2 weeks ago, and the CFO of Mattel stood up, and they said they lost track of what they did right, and they got complacent, and Tonka came in and kicked their ass. That was the CFO of Mattel.
Wow.
And that's just what we created. So we keep trying to find opportunities. You know, we found the opportunity for Articat and did it for Hawk Brakes and did it for Hot Wheels, I mean, for Tonka, and find ways to have our sponsors make money, not just spend it. It's been a lot really good.
Nice. Well, you know, I don't know, what's the driving split going to be this weekend? I know 2 days of racing, you know, this is a fun one. This is like my favorite race of the year here. I mean, a hometown boy, but it's my favorite race of the year to drive, you know. How's the split going to go?
Well, Todd qualified. He's going to race Saturday, and then he gets to fly to Hawaii and go play for a little bit. So, you know, then we get to race on Sunday and hopefully, you know, get this thing to the finish, and hopefully we just get up in the top, you know, top five. I mean, that's realistically we want to just, you know, get a good solid finish out of the truck finally, and you know, get Todd some seat time, just and try to get, you know, Henderson, get more seat time for him, and just, you know, shoot for next year. That's the goal. I mean, he really hadn't had much seat time in a year, so for him to get in and get 11th place in qualifying, that's pretty good.
Yeah, well, and it seems like this race, I mean, you know, me, it's always day one. You know, it's, you want to run about 85-90% and finish, you know, because there's so many guys that go out and run 110 and destroy their stuff, and it's like, get there to day number two, you know,
because
doesn't matter how fast you are, you DNF day number one, day number two is just a wash.
That's,
you know?
Right, you know. I think that's where it comes down to slodium sometimes, you know. Yeah. Go slow to get on the podium, and, you know, it's that fine line of going, well, these guys are checking out, you know.
Yeah, you don't want them to check out.
Yeah, but, you know, you want to stay within that 3 to 4 minute window of at the finish line, you know, because the next day a 3 minute is just one flat tire.
Yeah.
You know, realistically, and any of us can knock a tire off at any time, you know.
Yeah, especially on this course.
And the dust, and, yeah, exactly, the big lava, you know, the big rocks and the wash, and, you know, just one little mistake, especially the pace, you know, people run it in the trick truck classes, you know, it's hard to fathom how fast you're really going until you've got to go for a ride in one.
Yeah, exactly. So, well, I appreciate you guys taking the time, and we'll definitely catch up soon.
Well, thank you.
It's great riding with that there today.
All right, still hanging out here at the General Tire Appreciation Party. Got my General Tire teammate here, CJ Hutchins. How's everything going, CJ?
Good, really good. Had a great day today qualifying. Those General Tires were hooked up mean in that sand. I don't think I spun a tire that entire 4 miles or whatever the course was. So it was hooked up and pushing the car forward good.
Yeah, for sure. Top five overall, top two in class, which means you're going to be on the front row for Saturday. That's got to feel really good.
Most definitely. I'm starting next to Sam Berry, so he's in a light little single-seater, so that car is just a rocket ship in this soft sand. but I think I can get him off the start and hopefully put him in my dust and get some clean air the first couple laps.
Yeah, this is an interesting one. You know, it's, you know, I was talking about it earlier with TJ Flores, and it's one of those, like, day number one, you want to be out front and you want to push, but you got to make it to day number two. So it's like you got to ride that fine line and going over it, or, you know, it's, but I guess being out front, you'll be able to control the pace. So
most definitely, this is a super rough course, huge 5-6 foot holes all over the place on this course. So you definitely have to take care of your car on day one, try to make sure you have a good car for Sunday, and really push hard on Sunday and try to stay out front.
Yeah. Overall, how's this year been looking for you guys?
It's been kind of up and down. Vegas Torino, we had a rough race. We had multiple electrical problems and ended up, I believe, 10th or 11th in class. So that really hurt us in the points. For us to do good in the points, we really need a couple guys to DNF at the last race of the year. But we'll see how it goes. At this point, I have nothing to lose, so we'll be hanging it out there on Saturday.
Yeah, for sure. You know, we got this one in Henderson to wrap things up. But, yeah, I mean, Stackfield in Class 1500, you know, it's going to be a fun one, man. I love this course. Got a little mix of everything, you know. Then you get a breather to go down that highway section, right?
If you want to call going 130 miles an hour 10 feet away from a river a breather, I guess you can. But I think that's kind of a stressful section on the course for me.
Yeah, it's always interesting. It's kind of cool to see all the boats go by, but back of your mind, you're like, oh, I hope I don't have something go wrong here, right?
Exactly.
Be swimming.
Exactly.
So, what's on tap for you guys for next year? You know, in the 1500 car.
We're not 100% sure. We haven't really locked in to exactly what we're going to do. We do want to try to get back to Mexico and run a couple races down south. So we'll see what happens with some of our sponsors and kind of see what they want us to do next year.
Yeah, got to have you pretty excited about, you know, the new Best in the Desert calendar, some of those new races, Laughlin and Pahrump's coming back. And, you know, looks like Casey's trying to shake things up with Vegas Torino.
Yeah, very cool. Vegas Torino is definitely going to be one for the books. So we've already got our rooms and everything up in Tonopah. Hopefully you do too, because they're going to be sold out real soon. But Vegas Torino next year is definitely on our calendar. And Pahrump is always a really fun course, so hopefully we'll make it to that one next year as well.
Yeah, it's kind of cool to see, you know, not only Casey innovate. You know, I know, you know, down in Mexico there's some new events coming down there, so it just seems like off-road as a whole, you know, pretty good place to be right now.
Most definitely. The industry is taking off. It's definitely on the up right now, so that's a good thing for all of us. You know, we want more entries, more cars, more money we win, so.
Yeah, well, and talking about that, I mean, 1500, I look at that, you know, and numbers are still pretty strong there, but the competition level, man, you guys are stacked.
It's definitely intense out there. At this race, I believe we only had about 20 entries, but there's about 15 of them that really have a shot at winning it, so it's definitely put your foot down and hopefully your car makes it to the finish line. If you don't, you don't have a shot at the podium.
Yeah. Definitely an interesting race being run over 2 days like that. You know, and it has me excited, you know, looking at Vegas Torino next year and being multi-days and, you know, having to play that strategy in the back of your head as well, you know?
Yeah, definitely. Casey has done a few multi-day races in the past. However, we never raced in any of those, so that'll be a whole new thing for me and my team. But I'm sure we will have a good strategy going into that one.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I appreciate you taking the time and, you know, great party here at General Tires Throne and, you know, looking to have a little fun later on tonight.
Yeah, definitely. Thanks for having me. It's always good to be on your show, Jimmy.
All right.
Follow me on Instagram, CJ_Hutchins.
All right. Awesome. Thanks, my friend.
All right.
All right. Here at the General Tire Appreciation Party and Caitlin Hall with General Tire sitting down in front of me. How's everything going, Caitlin?
Everything's going good. I'm glad there are a lot of people showed up. And
yeah, I think it was just a little too warm to start things off.
Yes.
Maybe sun went down and it's like almost like vampires, you know, descending on the place, right?
Yes. Finally come out and play.
Yeah, exactly. So, no, good crowd. Food was good. Drinks are flowing. I mean, you know, you've been with General Tire about a year now. How has the ride been?
Oh, I absolutely love it. I couldn't ask for anything better. Getting promoted from an intern to an actual job, was lovely, and I get to travel, see all these wonderful people and crazy places that I've never been, and never been an off-road in my entire life. So it's definitely an adventure.
Yeah, well, and you, I mean, coming in, year one has been the 100th anniversary. I mean, that's, if you're going to come into a company, that's the year to do it, I guess.
Oh, right? Yes. Plenty on my plate this year. We have plenty more to even come. We still have, what, 3 months left in the year and 2.5, and we're already ready to knock out this year with a big bang.
Yeah, well, I mean, just between, what, I mean, you guys had Nora, you've had the Lucas Series, you've had Best in the Desert.
Yeah.
Off-Road Expo.
Yes. We still have SEMA, which is going to be big.
Yeah, it's been one heck of a ride for you,
it has.
I guess, right?
Oh, yes. Learned plenty.
Yeah. You know, I know you got new tires, the MT coming out. I mean, yes. You guys have already kind of somewhat launched it. You know, it's, yeah, it's been a heck of a ride.
Yes, so. That launch should be coming up in August next year. And then we have the 37-inch grabbers, DOT approved, which will be coming by the end of this year.
Yep.
So that's a big launch for us.
Yeah, I know a lot of people have been excited about that. Obviously, we've had them on the race program. I run those on my truck. But to see those coming, you know, DOT, where people can, you know, go into their local dealer and buy them, that's pretty exciting.
Everyone's excited. We can't wait to launch it.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, and a lot of companies, you know, I don't know, aren't this way, but you guys definitely, I mean, that tire, I can tell you, you know, what we run on our race truck or what's going into the showroom.
Exactly.
You know?
And I think that's a big reason people like to be able to relate to what's going on, what they see in the sport world, and then what they can drive on the street.
Yeah. So, you know, I know obviously we're here at the Blue Water Desert Challenge, kind of winding down the Best in the Desert series. I know we got one round left or two rounds of Lucas series, but you know, how has it been for you being out to all these races? I know this has been your first year, you know, at competitions, right?
Oh yes, I absolutely love racing. I grew up in racing, so it's definitely a different world for me. I grew up in road course, but off road is. I've definitely now want to buy a Jeep and definitely put some grabbers on it and go off roading. But Baja was my first experience at true off road, and that was a big eye opener. And many of my friends who are with me know that. But it was definitely, I was not prepared enough for Baja. But definitely, all the Mint was very awesome to watch and absolutely such a spectacle to go to. And Vegas to Reno itself was such the adventure, and to go right along with Spencer, and he showed me everything, even the brothels along the way. It was quite interesting.
Well, that's what's funny. I know, you know, obviously I'm in the truck, so we get all the way to Reno. I don't get to see anything, but on the way back, it's almost funny to stop and take pictures of some of this stuff. I mean, it's just like, wow, you know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. He made sure that I learned what the brothels were and what the different restaurants to eat at and not eat at on the way.
Yeah, well, and there's that big lake you go by, and, like, it literally, as you're driving by it, you can run a Google search, and there's all these, you know, Loch Ness monster stories, and, you know, there's submarines, and they've got underground tunnels from the ocean, and it's, I don't know.
I can see that. That lake was pretty big.
I mean, SEMA, I guess, you know, we're winding down Best in the Desert, winding down that. You know, I know General Tire going to have a pretty big presence at SEMA this year.
Yes. We have, I think, almost, it might be our first booth as long as I'm concerned, but we have a booth outside at SEMA. General Tire branded. We'll have some models out there signing some posters, and we'll have a big presence, especially with our HTS60, our new replacement tire. So we'll have some vehicles on display and definitely some salespeople out there to talk to and get to know that new tire that we just launched in August.
Yeah. I feel pretty special. My wife just got an Expedition, and I was sent a set of HTS60s for that.
Perfect.
So, she loves them. We've actually had it off-road, on-road, in the rain now, so it's been solid. So
good. I enjoy those tires. I definitely think it's a good successor to the HTS.
Yeah, it definitely, definitely is. So, you know, obviously, I got the General Tire Off-Road Appreciation Party going down. Lots of people here, and, you know, just appreciate what you guys do for the sport off-road.
Thank you. I enjoy getting to meet everyone in this atmosphere instead of in the competition atmosphere, but it's definitely, I enjoy it a lot.
Yeah, so. a little more laid back.
Exactly. Or,
get a feel for everybody.
Exactly. And I'm the one with a drink ticket, so everyone loves me.
Everybody's favorite. All right. Well, thanks a lot, Caitlin.
Thank you.
And we'll talk soon.
Sounds good.
For 100 years, General Tire has provided tires for your lifestyle, your adventure, your anywhere. Born from competition, the Grabber Tire offers the durability and off-road traction you demand in a tire. We put these tires to the test in the harshest off-road racing conditions to give you a tire that will make your anywhere possible. So let us take you on your next big adventure. Tweet us photos at General Tire, hashtag anywhere is possible. Because with General Tire, anywhere is possible. Ha ha ha!